Okay, 3, 2.
3, 2, hit it!
It's time to double down with Max and Stacy on Sputnik Radio. Beep, 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 beep. So, Stacy, now we're a post-Trumpism in America. They had this incredible election, which dominated by something called a meme. You know, a meme is like a gene. You know, a gene in genetics, it carries all the information from one generation to another. This is where this word meme comes from. It's an informational DNA. It's an idea that travels through the intellectual cybersphere. And it has generations, just like genetic information has generations. And these generations spawn new generations, and then some of these things die out and some grow to become new ideologue following and major ideas. And Donald Trump has certainly capitalized on the, what's called the meme war. We've got a special guest coming up, Adam Curry, who's a media magnate in his own right and long history in the media. But first, Stacy, let's just discuss a little bit about this whole meme war that's going on. We're in Austin, Texas, home of one of the biggest meme warriors in the world, Alex Jones. It's also a place where you have the South by Southwest Festival. It's quite an interesting little community here in America. But the topic is definitely meme wars. You think it was really the huge factor in this election that some are saying it was, Stacy?
Well, funny you should say that, Max, because actually that's about my headline that I have here. This is from emptywheel.net. The hashtag fake news about Iraqi WMD got hundreds of thousands killed. And why does Empty Wheel point this out? Well, Empty Wheel points this out because hashtag Pizzagate was a big story following the election of Donald Trump. We had Michael Flynn, his close advisor. I don't know which position he's in the cabinet yet, but he was retweeted a story about Pizzagate, this Pizzagate. I don't know. It's this weird ping pong pizza place.
Yeah, the Pizzagate is an interesting meme because to use my DNA analogy here, it's like, you know, the Cambrian period, the explosion of life on planet Earth. A lot of these species never made it, like the five-eyed tortoise, you know, or the three-winged flying Tyrannosaurus. You know, there was so much life that was created, and many of it was the evolutionary dead end. Now, some of these memes, and Pizzagate could be one, seems to me like a dead end. Like it's kind of stillborn in many ways. It did spawn, however, some real world action. There's been some actual violence associated with this. So that's kind of like just because a species might be ill-fated doesn't mean it can't eat a few other species be on its way to extinction. So maybe this Pizzagate's like that. But then again, there's other memes that have been really long, had a long life to them. And we can get into that a little bit more. But I think, would you say Pizzagate, does it seem like a non-starter to you? Or am I missing something? Because remember, Kony 2012 was the meme that came and went before I even knew what it was. People were making a reference to Kony 2012 as it was dying, and I had never heard of it. And then I saw the video of the guy on the street pounding the pavement naked. And I'm like, this is Kony 2012. I missed this entire meme.
Well, Kony 2012 was something generated by the military-industrial complex. But this hashtag fake news ties to the Donald Trump story, ties to our present circumstance, just because the mainstream media got it so wrong about Hillary losing. They thought she was going to win. She lost. And here, this hashtag fake news ties in with the hashtag Pizzagate, because Pizzagate was something. It's really kind of crazy. Okay, so basically it emerged out of these WikiLeaks documents of the hashtag Podesta emails, and the Podesta emails revealed a lot about the Hillary administration, but it never happened. But it showed a lot about power and democratic power. And the WikiLeaks and 4chan found some use of the word like pizza, hot dog. They had secret meanings. They said it was a pedophile ring.
But anyway, let's introduce our guest. So Adam Curry, of course, many would know from MTV, and many people talk about new media and alt media, but Adam Curry's been riding the wave. He's actually right in the thick of all this new media. He has been for 20 years or more. And of course, he is known as the Podfather. He basically invented podcasting. So it's kind of very meta that on this podcast, we have the Podfather talking about podcasting on a podcast. So it's very meta in that respect. But let me introduce Adam. Welcome to Double Down.
Well, thank you. And let me first bless this podcast. It is hereby blessed.
You got karma.
Ding-ling-ling-ling. You're good to go. You know, with this fake news, there's a little known law, and actually an act, that was passed in 78 or 79, called the Smith-Mundt Act. And the Smith-Mundt Act specifically forbade American government from propagandizing its citizens. In the 2013 National Defense Authorization Act, this bill was overturned. And the reason being, well, it's almost impossible for us to create our propaganda for other countries and for it not to get onto the internet and therefore flow into people's homes. I want to point out, this is the definition of fake news. And ever since 2013, and of course a ramp up from the internet, why call it fake news is just what the establishment is using to discredit anybody. It's really about propaganda, and anybody who has a different opinion can now be labeled as fake news, fake.
Yeah, if I can just follow up on that for a second.
The frog.
You know, as you mentioned, that law about propaganda, Voice of America, it was illegal. It was illegal to broadcast Voice of America into America.
In America because of the propaganda.
Because it was outright propaganda.
Yes.
Or fake news.
And so the Broadcast Board of Governors, when you look into this thing, is really fascinating. So the Broadcast Board of Governors have a multiple million dollar a year budget. And the guy who was trying to fix, NBC News was actually called back from the Broadcast Board of Governors because NBC was so failing. But he was brought into that to help the propaganda work better with Voice of America, all these other USAID funded outfits.
Yeah. Okay. But here we have a war on hashtag fake news, and what they're targeting are alt media. By the way, when you were at MTV, it was kind of alt media in the early days. It was like a new sort of, I'm old enough to remember when it was kind of new, but I'm going to say, because, you know, here are the fake news about Iraqi WMD when it was yellow cake. Remember that story about yellow cake? That turned out to be a fabricated document, of course. A lot of journalists did point it out in the alt media at the time that it was probably fake. The Washington Post and New York Times ran with the story, however, and we invaded Iraq. But that is not going to be the hashtag fake news that gets banned under the sort of new measures they want to introduce, certainly across Europe and the UK, where there are no sort of First Amendment rights. So it's easier to trample over the rights of free speech and freedom of the press. But what do you say? You're a pod father. You have a podcast. Do you worry about this sort of stuff? Are they going to be targeting the likes of your podcast?
Well, I don't worry about it because I know it's inevitable. It is going to happen. There's going to be licensing penalties. The FCC, the FTC have all wanted to get into the internet business. I mean, you know, first it'll be taxation. That's the most important thing. And you're already taxation, a lot of goods, even virtual goods. So it's getting very interesting. No doubt that, I think I see it from a different level because I've been in media my entire life, but also in socialist countries where it was run by the government or facilities were owned by the government. I've been in the most free enterprises to the outside world. You mentioned MTV, the most restrictive ever at the time I was there. You couldn't even crack a joke about Madonna. You couldn't say anything. And, you know, it's not of importance to anyone's life, but just so you know, no way. There was no free speech. You cannot really do all that much. So this fake news, I think that it was the mainstream was just looking for something. So we know that everyone has blamed the director of FBI. You know, why did Hillary not win? All these reasons. But the news media had to have a reason why they got it all so wrong, why they messed it up, so that they have no culpability. Well, of course, it was that evil Facebook passing on the fake news, which positions them as real news, positions everything else as fake news. And that is, to answer your question, Max, is a meme being extremely effectively deployed. And I think if you look straight down the line of who voted for Hillary and who voted for everyone else, the Hillary voters will now all be talking about fake news and will be totally buying into this idea that there is a good news and or a true news and a fake news, which of course is by it just not it doesn't work that way. News is not always true or factual. Any
news. The mainstream media news. I mean, the remember NBC News with Brian
Williams.
You know, he was caught creating fake news. Mm-hmm. The New York Times, leading up to the Bush election, they suppressed some stories pertaining to George W. Bush.
Sure.
They were not doing their role as journalists. So the mainstream media has nobody to blame but themselves. The brand of NBC, the brand of the New York Times, it was destroyed internally. Mm-hmm. So they don't want any competition, is what they refer to as fake news. All news is subject to be revised. I mean, this is what they say. It's the first draft of history.
I think it's worse than that. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about podcasts is there's a lot of podcasts that the New York Times produces and the Washington Post. You need to listen to these. And what I'm doing this now as a feature on my show. Because the journalists get on a podcast, the first thing they forget is that they're actually talking to people who listen. So now they're in their element and they're like, hey, wow, you know, boy, that Trump's a real douche. Oh my God. Example. New York Times podcast, they're all talking amongst each other, and this is where you hear the real sanctimonious smugness, I would say. And, well, Donald Trump said, if you think that Steve Bannon is bad by any of the category, any of the parameters that I've laid out here, that he's anti-Semitic, racist, whatever it is, please call me. Arthur, who's the, you know, the head honcho at the New York Times, please have them call me. And then on the podcast, they immediately say, well, we all know that, you know, he'll never take the call. No, not like journalists thinking, I want to call you because I have this thing. No, immediately they go into, well, we're not going to, well, no, that'll never happen. It's a travesty. The entire media news business is in shambles.
You know, remember when that plane fell out of the sky, was landed in the Hudson River by
Sullenberg. Yeah,
Sully, and you know, people were tweeting from the wing of the plane live.
Right.
And so, well before the AP showed up, well before any news organization showed up, they've become redundant in many ways.
Yes.
Because you've got live reportage on the scene instantaneously. So the idea of having somebody there to interpret what's going on to the audience has become obviated by the fact that anyone can see just about anything. So their role has been disintermediated out of existence. So are they just kind of clinging to something that's dead? Are they the horse and buggy whips of our age? And there's really no need for these mainstream media titans anymore.
Correct. This is the slow motion destruction, just like we saw. The music business was kind of more obvious where we saw that. There is no money in music. There is no zero, zero, zero money. If you sell 2,000 records and I think 10 streams equals a record, that is a top 10 hit on Billboard. Please pay attention to 2,000. The music business is dead. Everything else follows on. Well, you can see the disintermediation, the complete breaking of the whole gatekeeper idea.
Right. So here's somebody coming out of the Columbian Journalist School at the New York Times, and suddenly they're not needed. So they try to become pundits, but they weren't trained to be pundits. They're not naturally good pundits. Then you have people who are not going to journalist school, but happen to be good pundits.
Right. Who's the number one pundit? Who is the best pundit right now in the United States?
Alex Jones.
No. Donald Trump.
Okay.
He's the pundit of all pundits. When you think about it.
Continue.
He did something. I mean, that's what got my attention for sure. Wait a minute. Here's a guy who's 70, by the way. Not all 70-year-olds, you know, there's some magical void. If you're like 73, you're never going to get it. You're 70, you're kind of there. And he understood what he could do with Twitter, Twitter should be paying him $100 million a year to keep them in business. Donald Trump leaves Twitter. Twitter is over. I mean, he really got the idea in his own terms, in his own mind of, okay, I just say this and I go around. There was a brilliant cartoon that someone sent me, and you see Trump standing there and the news media, and behind the news media is some guy sitting on his couch, and he lobs the football right over the heads of the media, and there's the consumer catching it. That's what's happened. And he took advantage of it. Not for a second will anyone in the news business, New York Times, CNN, whatever, admit that that is what's going on.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this episode of Double Down with me, Max Kaiser, and Stacey Herbert. Thanks to our guest, Adam Curry. His podcast is called No Agenda. Until next time, bye, y'all.